Welcome to the Lion's Tribe. I am Pastor Jimmy Odukoya. I pray this episode blesses you and it reminds you to become the lion that God has called you to be. Be blessed.
I want to continue. We have been in Psalm 24, and I want us to continue with that today. Amen? Let's put Psalm 24 on the screen. Let's see what the Lord will say. Psalm 24, I think we're on the third verse. Amen. So let's start from verse 1. It says this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. The earth is whose? The Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. And we've talked about this. We delve deep into it. But there's I find that there's this ideology. Some people believe that God created the world and just has left it to its own devices. When you own something, you're very protective over it. You're very intentional about it. You see things that others don't see, especially when you have invested in it. If you spend money to build a house or to buy a car, the way you maintain the car or maintain the house is different from somebody who is just renting, right? If somebody is driving your car and he's driving it rough, what would you say to the guy? Ogbeni, sir, are you all right? Do you know how much I paid for it? Calm down. Why? Because your investment is in it. If that be the case, why do we think that God is not invested in the earth? The earth is the Lord's. It's his personality. He created it. He's invested in it. It makes sense when you hear that he abides in the affairs of men. Why will he not abide in the affairs of men, in what he has created? And you get happy when you think about Psalm 23, and it says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, all and those that dwell. That means I am the Lord's. That means he's invested in my well-being. He's invested. He's a shareholder, a stakeholder in my life. That means I must be fruitful and multiply. That's why the first thing he said in the garden, he said, be fruitful, multiply. Because God does not do wasted investments. Do you hear what I'm saying? You were not created by accident. There is a reason. And if God took the time to create you and put you in the world that he created that belongs to him, then you cannot be a wasted investment. So he will do everything in his power, as long as you align with him, to ensure that his investment yields. That return on investment must be fruitfulness and multiplication. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell in it. The next verse, it says, for he has founded it upon the seas. And we delve into that and just shows the power, the majesty, the sovereignty of God. How he decides to establish the earth. And we delve deep in exactly how he did that. And if you weren't here that Thursday, I implore you that you go listen to it. It just shows his wisdom, his audacity, how he sees things where others will not see it. Where there was darkness and null and void, the Lord saw the whole thing. He saw the earth. Where there was water, he saw earth, heaven, firmament, sky, all of it, and how he divided the earth and put the sky underneath the water, all of that. It's all in Genesis 2, and we delved into that. But today we're going to rest on Psalm 24, verse 3. This verse says this: who may ascend unto the mountain of the Lord? Who may ascend unto the mountain of the Lord? Next verse. And who may stand in his holy place? Seems to indicate that there is a mountain of the Lord. My first question was, what is the mountain of the Lord? Where is the mountain of the Lord? And to get the answer to that, you must understand who is speaking. We know that David is speaking. You must understand, to understand the text, you must understand context. When you understand context, also it's important sometimes you might need to go to pretext, what came before the text, so you can understand the subtext, which is what is the text saying. So therefore, the context is you have the king, David, saying the psalm. But when did he say the psalm? He said it, actually, theologians and historians have said that this psalm, Psalm 24, was sang when he was bringing the ark into Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 6. He had attempted to bring the ark into the into the Jerusalem. He was going to put the tabernacle. They were taking it into what would be the Mount Zion, where it was going to be the base of the temple that Solomon would build. And as they were going to do this, we know the story, they put the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart, and they were singing, and there was dancing. There was only a problem that as they were going, one of the oxen tripped, and the Ark slid, and the Levite, what's his name, Uzzah, reached out in a very old, noble gesture. Ah, the presence of the Lord, the ark cannot fall. And he went to try to touch it, and said, the Lord burned against anger, and instantly, man died. God, how far? Just say, make me help you. Did God ask for your help? A lot of times we limit the ability and the power of God. First of all, we understood, because I asked why he would do that, and we realized that they were already in disobedience. Sometimes what we don't realize, the difference between God and man looks at actions and God looks at the heart. He looks at motive, not actions. So if we look based on actions, we will say that he was being helpful. But God looked at him and said, that's disobedience, because you're already in error. And a lot of times we get in trouble because we base our decisions, our relationship, based on actions. And God does not judge as man judge. He looks at the heart. And the heart of man is evil and desperately. If the heart of man is evil and desperately wicked, then already, if the foundation is faulty, what can the righteous do? Right? So, he reaches out to touch it. He dies. And David is like, hold up, hold up, hold up. It's like, this ark, I'm not going with it again, lest the Lord smite me. Because clearly it was an indication that there was a problem already. So, quickly, what can we do with this ark? Obed-Edom's house is there. Oh, yeah. Obed-Edom, over to you. I don't know if it was selfishness or it was fear. Either way, Obed-Edom, take out. Because we're not going with this ark any further. And the Bible says that it was there for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Because anywhere the presence is, blessing must follow. See, a lot of times we focus on trying to get the hands of the Lord rather than just get the heart of him. If you are where the presence is, the blessing is automatic. I've done this illustration before. If I have somebody walking close to me, PD, please, can you follow me for a second? If I represent God and PD represents us, and he's following the presence of God, and his whole goal is to be where the presence is, guess what? If I want to talk to somebody, who will I talk to first? If I have something in my pocket, if I want to bless, who will I bless? If I want to, if someone wants to attack him and his bad, who will I protect? Thank you very much. Because where the presence is, the blessings will follow. And the Lord bless the house of Obed-Edom. And after 3 months, David's like, okay, okay. It's like God is not killing people anymore. It's like blessings are now the rule of the day, so shall we go? And he goes back to take the ark, this time carrying it properly. And every few steps, they will stop and do burnt offerings unto the Lord. And he took it in. And while he was going into Jerusalem, Psalm 24 was being sang. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell there. For he has established the earth upon the seas, or founded it upon the waters. Who shall ascend into the mountain of the Lord? In other words, who shall come into his presence? The mountain of the Lord. Every time Moses would go speak to the Lord on Mount Sinai, he was only allowed to go by himself because he was going to meet with the Lord. And the Bible says the cloud will come down to show that the presence of God had descended. the mountain of the Lord. And even after Moses, Mount Zion became the mountain of the Lord. It was the place where the presence of God will come to dwell. Ezekiel refers to the Garden of Eden as the hill of the Lord. And he speaks about when sin entered, that the man was cast out from the hill of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, and the cherubim was put in there because sin had come in. So when sin comes in, you are separated from the presence. So who shall ascend into the mountain of the Lord? What is the requirement to allow you to be in the presence of the Lord? Who is holy enough to enter into the holies of holies? Because guess what? Even when God would speak to Moses, not everyone could go up to the mountain. As a matter of fact, God would say, listen, when they come up to the mountain, make sure nobody's at the base of the mountain. Not even on top. They can't even be around. Because if they're around, why? Because God is holy. And sin cannot exist in holiness. His presence, it is not a case that he does not want to kill you, but he knows that if my righteousness should touch your own righteousness, that is as filthy rag, it will dissipate. Moses says, show me your face. He says, no one can see my face and live. You cannot exist in my presence. And so out of love, he says, make sure nobody, not even any cattle, goats, sheep, nobody come close to the mountain. So David is asking a question, who shall ascend into the mountains of the Lord? Next verse. And who may stand in his holy place? And look at the answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to what is false, nor has sworn oaths deceitfully. There's a problem already. There's a problem. Because all of us are in trouble. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. First of all, we already said that the heart of man is evil and desperately wicked. Clean hands and a pure heart. That's why David always said, create in me. Because he knows our hearts is dirty. We are wicked. Human beings can be saying, oh, God bless you. Hey, yeah, we are praying for you. But inside, they are cursing you. Sometimes we have people that come to celebrate with you because in their heart is envy. So, clean hands. What does clean hands mean? Have you ever, you know, in the Jewish custom, when you enter a place, even before prayer, and you see the similarities with Islam, is before prayer, you know what they do? They wash their hands. Because, guess what? These hands, if you ever took your hands and put it under a microscope and saw all the things that were crawling on your hand, just say, wash your hands. We use our hands for everything. To hold random objects, to eat, to clean our butts. Yes, I said it, it's true. Is it not true? We use our hands for everything, to slap somebody, to fight. These hands, we use these hands to steal. We use these hands to kill. We use these hands to cheat. We use these hands to fight. If God was to take a forensic measure of the things we have used our hands for, we use these hands for evil, for immorality, for fornication, for all kinds of nonsense. If God should take a forensic measure of our hands, hey, those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who has not sworn any oaths deceitfully. How many times have we promised, God, I promise I will never do it again, I swear. If you get me out of this, I swear, I promise you, I will never do it again. We have sworn many deceitful oaths, and God does not have the luxury of ignorance. As you are swearing, you'll say, you are lying. I know that you will do it again. I know where you will do it, with whom you will do it, when, how, where. I know all the answers. How many times have we cheated? How many times have we lied? As a matter of fact, if it was based on lying, God knows I should not be here. Because growing up, I was a skilled liar. I will not even lie to you. I can't lie. I was the one that they would call to fabricate a lie. I was that good in lying. That one time my father said to me, see, say you lie too much that if I even know how to defend you outside, I don't know if you're lying or telling the truth. When he said that to me, he said, that one entered. That's when I said, okay, God, I can't be lying anymore. Because, I mean, creative lies. Strategic, full thought, hardened process lies. Can I tell you one or two of them? I know you want to hear now. You see? He who has clear and pure heart. Is this pure heart to hear my lies? You see the problem? But I shall tell you. Because I've all been saved by grace. So one time, there was this party I wanted to go for. And it was on the island. But I lived in my father's house on the mainland in GRE. Papa Macaulay at the time. And I was trying to figure out, because I could not tell my father that I want to go to club party. How, sir? So I had to get creative. 5-10 minutes away from the house, oh Lord, forgive me. And if you judge me, judgment, that's sinning, that's pride. So if you judge me, your heart, God is watching you. Say, can you imagine this pastor? You too. So there was like this place not too far from the house. It was called Onyx Plaza. And there was a church in Onyx Plaza at the time, a Redeemed church, a youth church. Rose of Sharon, thank you, ma. And I used to go there from time to time, just pop into the youth church. So I thought to myself, let this church be good for something in my life. So I decided to tell my father that they were having a youth program that Saturday in Rose of Sharon that I wanted to go for. Of course, Pastor will let me go for any church activity, anything that is church. Come on, be going. Go, go, go on, go. So I said, Dad, there's a youth event in Rose of Sharon. I need to go. He said, go, 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 go. No problem. Cool. Told my guys, hey, boys, by the time I give you the signal, pull up. We enter the car, to the island. So they pulled up. And I dressed the part, but my actions and heart. You see, this is a good story. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I dressed with shirt and tie. Very responsible. I remember it was a green shirt, a green tie, TM Lewin shirt, nice tie, black slacks, black shoes. I was very, very well dressed. So if you're based on the actions, that's good. But in my heart, why I dressed that way? Because I was trying to prove to the people at the party that we're not on the same level. You people will wear boots, jeans, and Timberland. I'm giving you shirt and tie because the swag is on another level. Do you see actions and motives? Shirts and tie, because I wanted to stand out. Everybody would be wearing jeans and durag, and I came corporately ready to sin. So they pulled up, entered the car, to the island. So we're dancing. I get there. You know, back in the day, in that time, all that mattered when you used to go to party was your rep. If you had rep, what was your reputation? You can't wait outside. You enter the club, they call you and you enter, you do your thing. I landed, everything was cool. I was looking at the time. I was like, all right, listen, guys, by 6:30, we have to leave. Actually, it was not a weekend, it was a weekday. I think it was like a Friday. Yeah, it was not Saturday, it was Friday. 6 o'clock, all right, guys, we'll leave at 6, you know? And we're about to leave. Did not hear one song. That's my jam. One more. After this one. After I was like, guys, we have to go. So we jumped into the car. We start heading back to the island on Friday at past 6. What do you, to the mainland, what do you think you will reach on top mainland? Traffic. As we got standstill traffic. And the clock was counting down. Because all he had to take my father was just to send my cousin or send the car 10 minutes to Onyx Plaza to go and pick me up to find out that there is nothing happening in Onyx Plaza. And should perchance my father should find out. First of all, that I lied. I now use God to lie. How many times have we used God to lie in our lives? When we misrepresent him, we're using him to lie. When we say we are Christians and we are the ones that are doing the evil thing, we are using God to lie. So, I'm looking. You know, instead of having instant fever, you have to say like, move now, move! If I could push the car. And I kid you not, this is my true life story. We were not more than one quarter onto the bridge. I said, hey boys, I will see you at home. I got out of the car. I took my tire, put it, and I began to run. Like a thief who had stolen something. Because I knew what the consequence would be. I was running. I was running. I ran all the way down to the end of Thornbillan Bridge into Antony Village. I ran past Antony Village into Bank Antony. I ran from Bank Antony to Maryland. I was running because I knew my life was on the line. Sometimes when you have motivation, you will do things you didn't know was possible. I ran. When I got to, hey Jesus, it's funny now, it's like movie. I got to Nitel. God showed me mercy, I found Okada. I jumped on Okada, I didn't have money. I said, just take me. When I get to the gate, I will pay you, just take me. He carried me all the way to Abamakoli Crescent. Collected money from the security, paid him. I entered the house. My father was in the kitchen with his brother. Uncle John, sitting down, gisting, eating groundnuts. Do what happened? No, I just have to do some exercise. Another lie. From, I figured, I have a race coming up in the month. I said, let me just stretch my legs. Hey, how was the program? Ah, it was lovely. Hey! Say, okay. Hey, okay. Go inside. The punishment for the lie was that experience as I will never forget it in my life. And the fact that God didn't allow my father to catch me was mercy. There's another one that was a close call. I won't tell you that one. Let's move on. Should I tell you that one? You people, focus. Okay, I'll tell you very quickly. Another time it was party again. I was a party boy. Confirm. So, this party, again, we could never just be straight. So, I planned it. I was going to go to my friend's house. We were going to go. And there was a wedding that was happening. So, I told my dad, listen, I'm going to go to my friend's house, my sister and I, ASP and I. ASPS, she was part of this too. I'm casting you. He said, we're going to go to this, my friend's house, a girl I was dating at the time, and we're going to go for this wedding and then we'll come back home. That's what we told our parents. No problem. You want to go? Go for a wedding? No problem. So we got to the house. There was actually a wedding going on, but so that we could have an alibi, ASP actually went to the wedding to show face, while I just went straight to the club. I went straight to the party, right? Again, it was on the island. All the parties then on the island, right? So I went to the island with another friend and somebody. Hey, another friend, like two girls, we went to the island and ASP went to the party. And then the plan was we'd meet up later and go home. The problem was one of my friends had called the house to ask for me, and I don't know what's wrong with the friend. Because I'm just thinking about it, I'm just angry again. So called the house to ask for me. My mom says, oh, they've gone for a wedding. I said, no, they go for a wedding. There's a party they went for. Who asked you? Did they ask you to correct? They just said, he's not at home. He went for a wedding. Oh, no. Actually, auntie, he was a party. My mom said, no. They didn't go for a party. They went. He said, auntie, I'm pretty sure. As a matter of fact, we discussed that I was going to go for the, because when I'm in that person's house, he tells his parents he's going for a party anyhow. Did they ask you to come to my house and be? So that was now the problem. Because now my parents are now alerted to the fact that there was a party that we had said we were going for. And when they started looking at the time, it was getting late. However, same thing. You'd be party. One more dance. Ah, this song, one more song. 7:30, 8 o'clock. Now, it's getting dark. My parents have heard that we're in a party. My father is livid. My father starts to say, if he finds out that we went to this party, the plans of going to school in America is not happening. He was already saying it. If they are doing this before they have left, what will they do? So he already told them, he started calling them, I'm gonna find me space in Unilag. He was already saying it. He was livid. He was angry. So they jump into the car to go and look for us in my friend's house in Palm Grove Estate. Now, there are so many sides to this story. At that time, on the island, somebody say mercy. I don't know how I'm even telling you. This is not part of the... At that time, I was on the island trying to be a gentleman. So I decided to walk my friend to her car. Thank you. Walk my friend to her car. Now, in those days, they were what we called obtainers. Now, obtainers, their job was today, and I can see ex-clubbers, they are nodding. I won't cast you. If you know, you know. Obtainers were there at buyers to grown people to collect, obtain your clothes, anything they saw. That's why you call it obtainers. They obtain. Ah, guy, I like this. Remove it. I like your headband. Take it. I like your watch. Remove it. That's how they called it. They just used to obtain. And one time, I had just come back from London, another party, not the same party. And one obtainer in the middle of the transport came to me and said, hey, bro, how fast? I like this your headband, though. I like this your fake ice, you know? Not this fake ice then. Fubu, for us buyers. I like this, you know? Remove them. No, boss, Alpha, just punch me. Boom. As he punched me, all the air left me. Just removed it from my neck. Took my headband. I said, bros, you didn't smell. After he had punched me, he's now talking to me like we're friends. You smell nice. And then, you know, there'll be so a lot of people in the party, so you'd keep perfumes on you just in case you need to touch up, you know. He said, you smell nice. He just saw the perfumes as I bought. I beg. You have taken it to just leave me with this one. Please now, please, just I beg. And then, so he left me with my perfume. But that day, I swore that I would never be obtained in my life again. That's backstory to going back to this story. So I'm walking my friend to the car. Meanwhile, at the same time, my parents have jumped into their car to go to Palm Grove. See all the different things happening. Somebody say mercy. I'm walking my friend to the car. All of a sudden, there was an obtainer, one called Yellow. Yellow shows up with 6-7 guys. And as they approach me, the friend that I was trying to be gentleman for, Jackba, there's a wall behind me. So I'm pinned. Yellow steps up, and 6 of them form a semicircle. And they block me, and they say, oh boy, Alpha, how much you get for pocket? I did that. Like 600. I said, bring him. I said, no. The guy looked at me. He looked back. He said, like, say you won't die. I said, if you won't kill me, kill me. But this money, I know they give you. Hey. Next thing you know, Yellow pulls back to try to slap me as he's about to slap. This is true story. This is not African magical. As he's about to slap me. When you think about things I did when I was not even, I don't know what I was. Was I even 16? I was not 16 then. As he pulled back to want to, next thing, I duck. We are start going for it from nowhere. God showed me mercy because they were about to all pass on. But I said, if they're going to kill me, this is something I am dying with it. I'm serious. From nowhere, my boys just came from nowhere. And it was now 6-on-6, proper rack. We are fighting. My parents are in a car in Pound Grove, driving to my friend's house. When they get to Pound Association, there are armed robbers attacking at that time of the night. So my parents had to veer off the road. And it just added more fire. Because my father is like, we are out here risking our lives. And you people are in a party and you lied. So can you imagine the anger? They are shooting, they park, they are waiting. When it passes, they drive to the house. My father that hasn't driven in years is driving by himself. You know that there is a problem. They get to the house and we are not there. So they drive back home and my father is waiting. Because last, you come back to this house. Unbeknownst to me, all of this had happened. But in the midst of our own fights, a bus pulls up and the car pulls around. My guys are like, jumping. We enter the car. We take off. This all happened in one day. As we get, now we are speeding home for time. We get to a checkpoint on the island. The police says to stop. And because my guy was speeding, he did not stop. So he peels off. The police enter their van and start chasing us. This is all in one day. So when I look back over my life, and I'm standing here talking to you, all in one day, we are speeding. Cross Third Mainland Bridge. They are chasing us. Now, at this point, we're like six boys in the car. ASP is inside with us. She was our rough rider. Shout out, ASP. We're speeding. And now the police obviously see a bunch of people in the car and assume probably now that we must be criminals because we didn't stop. And back then, you shoot first, ask questions later. So we knew that if they catch us, so we were speeding. They were coming. God bless the guy that was driving. I remember his, I won't call his name. He did drive. We get off Third Mainland Bridge. He cuts very sharply into Antony Village because they're coming behind us. And we spin so fast in, we hit a dog. Bah! I was like, oh, dogs. I come and shut up. I'm like, get dog. Because I love dogs. One lookout dog. Rest his soul. I know he's... And then we now park in one alley to wait. And we let the police now come and go past us. Whoosh, looking for us. We now reverse very slowly, turn back around, go back. And that's how we escaped them to Bank Anthony. That won't happen. See, as I'm telling you, you can see I'm already breathing. We now get to the house. Now, my head is already going like this, bam, 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 because somehow I had gotten info, because the person called and casted, that, yeah, sorry, you, but it's like, your parents know, I mistakenly said, I said. So in my mind, I was already planning the lie that we used to lie to come out of this. How we will come out unscathed. It was going to be a test of my ability, because my goal was that there will be no problem. How are we going to get out of this? I'm sure my father is looking at me now. Sorry, Daddy. I can confess now. Oh, gosh. And I was thinking, so we get home. You know when, in fact, calm before the storm. He says, come in. So, hey, Daddy. He enters the living room, the dining room, pulls out his belt, puts it on the table. Ask the question, just one. Where were you? That we went for a wedding. Ah. I'll ask you again, he says. Where were you? But Dad, we told you we're going for a wedding, so we went for a wedding. As God will have it. Somebody say mercy. While Pastor Tolu went to the wedding, she met a fountaineer at the wedding. They had a conversation. They talked. So that was an established alibi that we were at the wedding. Because that's why she went in the first place. She said, just go there just in case. So at least we're not, it's not a full lie, it's half lie. So I say, we were at the wedding. Why are you just coming back now? Dad, we were at the wedding. Somebody had to go to the airport. So there was a lot of traffic. We were waiting. So let them go and drop the person at the airport. And by the time we come back, then they'll bring us home. And they were stuck in traffic for hours. And we were waiting a long time. Then after they were stuck in traffic, they came back and they just picked us up. And that's why we are home late. And then my father says, you are lying. I said, no, I'm serious. As a matter of fact, we met Mrs. So-and-so. She was at the wedding. Call her. Call her. I'm going to lie to you. Call her. My father said, okay, I will call. Picks up the phone. Just about to 11. Hello? Ekalema, Emma Binoma. I'm so sorry. This pastor. Pastor, how are you, ma'am? Say, sorry, ma'am. Did you see my children at the wedding? Say, yes. More. I saw them. I said, hey. See? Okay, yes, we talked. Okay, I should go in my other bummer. He hung up. He said, God save. I said, Daddy, why would I lie? Why would you even accuse me? I don't know what you were talking about. He said, God saved you. I already called you the liar. You're going to start on Monday. I said, how? And that was how mercy intervened. From the police, from yellow. When the police were, when the robbers were operating, anything could have happened to my parents. Even God allowing my sister to see this woman. The one speaking has been a big recipient of mercy. So, if it's based on clean hands and pure hearts, you see me, I can cast myself. If we should hear your own story. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So based on that, no one can ascend into the hill of the Lord. No. No one. Let me show you something quickly in Psalm 15, and I'm going to end in the next 5 minutes. Look at what Psalm 15 says. It expounds on this. Put Psalm 15. O Lord, who may lodge as a guest in your tent? Continue on. Who may dwell continually on your holy? He who walks with integrity and strength of character and works righteousness. Continue. And speaks and holds the truth in his heart. Continue on. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil. If you have ever said anything evil with your tongue at any time to anyone in any place on any occasion, you're already disqualified. Nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend. Continue. In his eyes, an evil person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord and obediently worship him with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. Continue. He keeps his word even to his own disadvantage and does not change it for his own benefit. Continue. He does not put out his money at interest to a fellow. So if it's my brother, I can borrow without worrying about interest. Continue. And does not take a bribe against who? The innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. So we have just expounded more on the requirements of those who can ascend into the holy place. And now we are at a problem because we are now, if it's profit and loss, we are in the negative. All that they say is required, we have all done in excess of that. We are in the negative. So there's a problem. You and I cannot ascend or come into his holy place. But somebody say, thank God for mercy. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16. Put it on the screen. It says this. Hebrews 4. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weakness and temptation, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. So this man, this one, this high priest has a clean heart, clean hands, and a pure heart. So based on this, he qualifies to dwell on the hill of the Lord. This high priest, continue. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in the time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right time. Because we have a high priest who has clean hands and a pure heart, and because the high priest, his job was to go and make atonement, right? Make atonement. We have one who has atoned for all of us. And because he had clean hands and a pure heart and took our place with clean hands and a pure heart, now guess what? We can all come into the holy hill of the Lord and dwell without fear, without worry, because we now can obtain mercy. Who is this high priest? As I close, give me Hebrews 5. First verse is talking a bit about this high priest. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in things, continue on, relating to God, so that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. The high priest's job is to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Continue. He is able to deal gently with the spiritually ignorant and misguided, since he is also subject to what? You see, when you have been a recipient of mercy, you can give mercy with ease. When you have erred in your own self, then it's easy not to pass judgment on somebody who fails as well. Because you know what it is. You know this human condition, this human weakness. Continue on. And because of this human weakness, he is required to offer sacrifices for sin, for himself, as well as for the people. Continue. And besides, one does not appropriate for himself the honor of being a high priest. You cannot decide that you are a high priest. But he who is called by God, just as Aaron was, continue on, so too Christ did not glorify himself so as to be made a high priest. He did not glorify himself to make a high priest. What happened? But he was exalted and appointed by the one who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten, fathered you, declared your authority and rule over the nations. Just as he also says in another place, you are a what? appointed according to the order of Melchizedek. He is a priest appointed forever. Any time, T, any place, P, any occasion, O, for the rest of your life, you have a priest appointed forever. When it comes to you, your sin, your mess ups, your mistakes, you have a high priest that has been appointed forever. He is the priest. He is the sacrifice and the priest all at the same time. He placed himself as the ultimate sacrifice, shed his blood, and he had to shed his blood because there's only one thing that can make your hands clean and your heart pure. It's not soap. It's the precious blood of Jesus that washes you white as snow and throws your sin away into the sea of forgetfulness. So now you get it why you can come without fear. Because if we do not have the blood of Jesus as a barrier, all of us who are living, we should be dead. Anyone who steps where the presence is should be gone. But we have the blood of Jesus that washes us every day, every time, every moment, so we can come to the holy place, to the high hill of the Lord, boldly, without fear of repercussion, and obtain mercy. Somebody say mercy. Mercy. Somebody shout mercy. Mercy. Somebody just thank God for mercy right now. Father, we thank you that you are a high priest, appointed forever. You who are the Lamb, you who are the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. You who has given us the ability to come boldly to your throne, to dwell on your holy hill. You who has washed us white as snow, who has given us clean hands and a pure heart. Father, as we walk every day in your mercy, may we never forget that we are recipients of your mercy. Help us to show mercy to everyone, to our neighbors, to our enemies, to our family, to do good to those who even wrongfully persecute us. Help us to be patient, to be kind, to be long-suffering. Help us not to judge. Help us to restore our brother in love. Help us to keep your name, mercy, before us. Father, we come before you with a heart of gratitude. And we say thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We give you all the glory, all adoration.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that you were blessed. And if you enjoyed what you heard, please be sure to subscribe. And if you know a fellow lion that needs to join the tribe, please be sure. Send them this link. Share this episode. God bless you.